ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
We're in part two of Prophecy Update 2022. And again, the whole idea, do not be deceived. It's like Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. There's a good warning, right? And we need to pay attention about that. Now, I don't want to freak you out with this picture, so don't be afraid, but this is bizarre.
I don't know. Some kind of pig animal?
Well, look a little closer. It's a dog with his head turned.
See him? There's his nose. There's his mouth. That's his ear.
I deceived you. That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is. We have to be careful about, I guess, who we trust. What did I do? I just slammed me, huh? I don't know. But yeah, we have to be careful. We're going to be looking at the third point, discouragement from within, and that's the apostasy in the church. Keep in mind, the whole reason Nehemiah came to Jerusalem was to see how they were doing, and they found a mess. The walls were in shambles. All those years they were in Jerusalem, nothing was done, and so he's there to help them rebuild the walls. And we can understand when the enemy tries to discourage us, but when discouragement seems to come from within the so-called church, can be disheartening. Think about it. Nehemiah 4, verses 10 and 11, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. The tribe of Judah was basically saying, look, what's the point? Really, what's the use? There's so much work. The enemy's threatening us. We're dead. And what does that do? It discourages people, right? From finishing the work that they were. They're halfway finished with the walls. You'd think they'd be excited. But here is discouragement. And there's always been those who have tried to discourage us in the work we're doing here. But don't allow discouragement to stop you from finishing the work that God has called you to do. We're going to take a look at this apostasy in the church because I see it growing in the days we're living in. And the thing we need to understand is that it may seem like they're prospering, but in reality, they're not. And really, when you look at the last days churches and you see the letters that Jesus wrote to the churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, when you get to chapter 3 and you see the last letter to the church of Laodicea, where is Jesus in relation to that church? He's outside the church knocking to get in. That's how far away they've moved from God. And why am I dealing with apostasy in the church here? Because it will lead us to what we'll be talking about next, the one world religion. And here's the thing. According to Barna's research, it's kind of interesting. I don't have my right slides up here, but 176 million Americans claim to be Christians, 69%. It used to be higher years ago, but that's what they say. Only 6% of U.S. adults, which is 9% of those identifying as Christians, possess a biblical worldview, believing the Bible to be accurate and reliable, among other convictions. That's crazy. That's crazy. 2 out of 3 Americans think of themselves as a Christian. And a majority still think that Christianity is kind of about the Bible, but there's a big gap between what self-identified Christians believe the Bible may teach and what the Bible actually teaches. Large majorities of self-identified Christians also report many beliefs not in harmony with biblical teaching. 72% argue that people are basically good. These are self-identified Christians. 66% say that having faith matters more than which faith you pursue. So just any kind of faith. 64% say that all religious faiths are of equal value. 58% believe that if a person is good enough or does enough good things, they can earn their way into heaven. 57% believe in karma. Are you kidding me? I guess I just don't understand that. He said there's a remarkable level of self-deception, even among born-again Christians, said Barner, commenting on his recent worldview research. It represents a huge educational challenge for those responsible for biblical worldview and development. Too often, people who want a certain reputation or image embrace the label Christian, regardless of their spiritual life and intentions. Christian has become somewhat of a generic term rather than a name that reflects a deep commitment to passionately pursuing and being like Jesus Christ, he states. Wow. So when we complain about the church's lack of spiritual courage and conviction, we have to remember that over 90% of the members of these churches are not even born-again Christians. And that kind of brings everything into focus, right? Barna also is a student highlighting the reason for the massive Christian apostasy. The pulpits are not teaching sound doctrine. There's the key. People don't know. How do I know that? Again, I don't want to offend anyone with these books. The Complete Conversations with God, it's Neil Donald Walsh's book. He actually has three books. I read the first one, Conversations with God, because I wanted to see what kind of garbage he was putting out there. And it's just New Age mumbo jumbo. Jesus Calling with Sarah Young, The Shack, William P. Young, The Circle Maker, A Course in Miracles. These are all been brought into the church. And I think you can understand when you see how many Christians hold a biblical worldview, you understand why these things come in. You know, I shared with you many, probably a year or so ago, about Christian witches. Does that alarm anyone? How are you a Christian witch? Show me in the Bible where there is even such a thing. Christian tarot cards, Ouija boards, as we saw, yoga, New Age teachings, psychics, all kinds of things. Again, how did it happen? Because the schools compromised what they were teaching their students. The students then graduated and became pastors and leaders in churches, and they are teaching their people these false teachings. That's how it happens. An early report from American Worldview Inventory in 2022 showed just 37% of Christian pastors have a biblical worldview. 37%. I mean, it's hard to believe. And because of that, we don't know what to believe anymore. That's the problem. I mean, think about this. This is what the report found, that one-third or more of senior pastors believe sexual relations between two unmarried people who believe they love each other is morally acceptable. Really? I guess I'm blown away by that. Determining moral truth is up to each individual. There are no moral absolutes that apply to everyone all the time. I think God has given us a good indication about moral truth. The Holy Spirit is not a living entity, but is a symbol of God's power, presence, or purity. Are you kidding me? It's like Jesus told the religious leaders, have you not read? Having faith matters more than what faith you have. Reincarnation is a real possibility. And yet the Bible says it's appointed for men to die once and then comes judgment, huh? A person who is generally good, does enough good things, like I said, can earn a place in heaven. Socialism is preferable to capitalism. Find that interesting. Wow, we even got that in there. And again, the Bible is ambiguous in its teaching about abortion, enabling you to make a strong argument either for or against abortion based on biblical principles. Again, are you kidding me? I think you can understand why so many churches today embrace homosexuality, transgenderism, and all this, the garbage. How do we deal with the tsunami of apostasy? Well, what did Nehemiah do? Nehemiah 4, verses 14 and 15, and then verse 20. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Isn't that what Jude tells us to do, to earnestly contend for the faith that has been entrusted to us? Absolutely. And not time to compromise or to give up or to run away or to hide. Isaiah said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to the word, it's because there is no light in them. When you have people teaching things that are against what the Bible has to say, it's because there's no light in them. That's a problem. And again, what's happening with the apostasy is it's moving the church and all these religions into the one world religion. That's where we're moving. We've got a one-world government coming into play. We've got a one-world religion also, and it's compromised. Nehemiah 6, verses 1 and 2. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono," but they thought to do me harm. They want to get Nehemiah to compromise the work he's doing, to stop it, and join them, meet with them. And I think that's what's happening today. Not again with just the Christian faith, but with the religions of the world coming together. They've compromised what they believe for this one world religion, and the church is being destroyed. Will there always be a remnant? Absolutely. Here's the thing for us as Christians. There can be no compromise. We have to stick to what God has said. We can't be afraid of what man is going to say or do. We have to fear God. And so many don't. What did Jesus say? I mean, Jesus was a radical. He made statements that made the Jewish religious leaders crazy, right? What was one of the things he said? "I am one of the many ways, and I have some truth, and I can give you a little bit of life." No, he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." There is no middle ground there. All roads don't, well, I guess they all lead to God, because even those that reject Jesus are going to have to stand before him one day, but you're not going to stay there. And there's the problem. Why do we want to compromise this? Why do we not want to give the gospel message to people? Satan knows if they don't hear the truth, they're going to end up eternally separated from God. And I'll give you again, this is what's going on. I'm not picking on those that watch The Chosen, but again, it's a series that's supposed to be about the life of Jesus. They're in their third season. Jonathan Rumi, I believe is how you say his name, plays Jesus. He claims that he received insight with the Pope at a private Vatican summit. And this is what he said about his meeting with the Pope back in September of this year. He said, "Spent some time with the Holy Father Pope today, collaborating on ways in which artists can use the gifts they've been given to effect positive changes in the culture. A remarkable 48 hours with 24 extraordinarily talented folks of all walks. The experience," he said, "was a touching reminder that God can use anyone and everyone in any field that he wants to move hearts towards him." Now, again, people may not see this as a big deal, but I came out of the Roman Catholic faith. Is Roman Catholic faith Christian? Well, most of the time they don't call themselves Christian, they call themselves Catholics. But again, this is a different gospel. Why? Again, I came out of the Roman Catholic Church. I know what it says. Their gospel is a gospel that is based in Jesus and good works. And even that won't be enough. You have to go to purgatory to atone for your sins. You see, it's a different gospel. Well, why then, if this is a different gospel, and Paul said that if anyone brings to you another gospel, let them be accursed in Galatians, right? Even if an angel from heaven should bring you another gospel. Now the Chosen offers viewers an app so you can pray the rosary and pray to the Roman Catholic saints. Those are dead people that they're praying to, okay? Why? What has happened? Salvation, guys, and I think you understand this, is a free gift that we receive by faith. Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You see that? I mean, not by works. Why? So we don't boast. Look how good I am. Look at what I have done. No. Good works can't save you. Religion can't save you. There's only one who can, Jesus. And Jonathan Rumi said, "God can use anyone and everyone in any field he wants to move hearts towards him." Wow, that means the Muslim, the Catholic, the Mormon, or any other cult can move you towards the true and living God. True? No, that's dangerous. And here's a man who's playing Jesus, and I guarantee you, people will watch it. And because he's playing Jesus, the words he say, they will listen to. Guys, what Jesus says in the Word of God, the Bible, is you need to listen to. This is a story that man has written. Is there some biblical continuity? Yeah, I mean, they take some stuff from the Bible, true. But be careful. Two dozen extraordinarily talented folks from all walks, all the religions of the world working together. Basically, discernment is so important. And the church is getting weaker and weaker. Claude Fisher is a Berkeley sociologist, and it points to a Watershed Gallup poll showing that in 2020, for the first time since the poll began in the 1930s, fewer than 50% of Americans were affiliated with a church, synagogue, or mosque. It showed 21% of Americans had no religious affiliation. Wow. That means they're alone. And I know you've seen those National Geographic shows and stuff where, you know, they're out in the African jungle. And who does the lion go after? The lone one. The lone antelope or whatever creature is out there. Because they're a lot easier. So many Christians are out there being attacked by the devil, bringing in these false teachings. And it's a big deal. Now, to destroy the Christian church, you have to get the church to compromise. And how do they do it? Oh, come on, we just need to get along. We don't want to fight with each other. That's not Christian. How can you say that homosexuality or anything else besides what the Bible says is a sin when they were born that way or that they love each other or whatever? And the list goes on and on. And they want us to compromise. They make us feel uncomfortable and the church dies. Would Jesus tolerate sin? No. Jesus loves the sinner, but he doesn't tolerate their sin. And I realize for some people, they struggle with that. The Bible never says Jesus loves the sinner but hates their sin. No, he doesn't say it, but he shows it. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, did he not love her? He absolutely did. Did he say ignore her sin? He absolutely did not ignore her sin. He loved the sinner, hates the sin. But they want you to compromise. And I'll give you an example. The head of the United Nations put it like this. The UN chief said it should be an opportunity to reflect on the importance of cultural and religious understanding and mutual respect. I am grateful to the religious leaders across the world who are joining hands to promote dialogue and interfaith harmony. That's Mr. Guterres, Secretary General. Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. Wow. It was co-authored by spiritual leader of the Catholic Church, the Pope, Pope Francis, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Egyptian Islamic scholar Sheikh Ahmad Al-Tib, calling it a model for compassion and human solidarity. We need this spirit more than ever, he declared. The UN chief concluded with an appeal to stand firm against bigotry wherever we see it. Let's recognize our diversity is a richness that strengthens us all. Let us build bridges between the faiths inspired by our common humanity. And let us come together in solidarity to create a more inclusive, peaceful, and just world for all, he said. Now, one of the issues for government control and religious control is our right, especially in this country, to bear arms. And Antonio Guterres, head of the United Nations, what did he say? Listen very carefully. Disarmament is an essential tool to secure the world and our future. Now, disarmament is your tool to control the people, okay? That's why our founding fathers had the amendment, the right to bear arms. It wasn't to protect against foreign nations, it was protect against the government. But now they've changed that. But this is an essential tool to have control of the people. Now, the most popular apostasy in Christianity or Christendom today, I should say, is the teaching that God has revealed himself in many different ways to different cultures. And so all religions worship the same God, just different names, right? Allah of Islam is the same as Yahweh of Judaism and so same as Krishna of Hinduism. It's the coexist. And the National Council of Churches in the United States and the World Council condemned missionary activity as arrogant and anti-cultural. So for us to go and share the gospel message, we're very arrogant and anti-cultural. No, we're loving. We bring the gospel message because we love people. We want them to come to Jesus Christ. But again, they're condemning the work that we're doing. Look at the religious leaders of the world coming together. This is back in 1980, 1, the United Nations, Declaration on the Elimination of All Forms of Intolerance and of Discrimination Based on Religion or Belief. Wow. Article 1, everyone shall have the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right shall include freedom to have a religion or whatever belief of his choice, and freedom either individually or in community with others, and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in worship, observance, practice, and teaching. And, you know, it sounds fine. Everyone should have the right to worship as they please. 2, no one shall be subject to coercion, which would impair his freedom to have a religion or belief of his choice. A little cloudy now. Does that mean you can't share your faith with others? You can't witness to others? Could be. 3, freedom to manifest one's religion or belief may be subject only to such limitations as prescribed by law and are necessary to protect public safety, order, health, or morals, or the fundamental rights and freedoms of others. Now it's up to the government to tell me if I can practice my faith. If it goes against what they want, you can't. And that was back in 1981. And now we're moving closer to Agenda 2030, getting closer to getting this done. One more point to show you how they're trying to engage Christians into a world religion, and we have to compromise what we believe, is, I'm a little ahead of myself here. This is, again, from the series The Chosen. Sorry. There's so much wrong with this. But this is what we're told. So I love the fact that our communities are coming together with our celebration, our worship, and our faith, said Brad Pilo, one of the Mormon executive producers of The Chosen and the driving force behind The Chosen Christmas special. Notice that this is a Mormon executive producer of a Christian show. Do you see anything wrong with that? I mean, that should be like a red flag. Well, there's a memorable quote. Remember that claim that The Chosen is not produced by Mormons? The Mormon involvement in The Chosen is hands-on. During the interview, Mormon executive producer Brad Pilo said, "It's my responsibility as chief distribution officer to figure out how to keep fans engaged. Not how to keep it biblical, but how to keep you coming to watch the show. So I got to make it more intriguing. Like the story of Jesus is not intriguing enough, but I have to do it to make you come and watch my show." We are watching, I believe, the growing spiritual unity between those of different faiths via The Chosen. Wow. Christianity, Mormonism, and mystical Catholicism are coming together. Differences are becoming blurred in the eyes and hearts of many because, after all, we have heard again and again, this is the authentic Jesus. Mormon executive producer Daryl Eves noted, "And this authentic Jesus needs to go out to more people. We want to get it out to a billion people." During the interview, still speaking about The Chosen Christmas special, Palo casually mentioned, "Most people probably didn't realize that there are a couple of Latter-day Saints artists in those performers, you know, and they're some of the most beloved." Wow. What do we do about this? Don't watch the show. I mean, I don't know. That just seems easy enough. But use discernment. Again, this was very slick because it came out being very good, I believe, from what I heard. But now look at where it's at. Again, that's just what the devil likes to do. And again, I'll ask the question, what did Nehemiah do in the situation that he faced? Nehemiah 6:3. "So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" So Nehemiah has a perspective of the situation. I'm busy doing the work of God. I'm rebuilding the wall. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to waste my time getting involved in these other things that are going nowhere. It was a great work. And they wanted, if you remember, they wanted to meet Nehemiah in the plane of, oh no. I think that's hilarious. I love that. Don't go there because you'll be saying, oh no, why did I go here, right? I think God has a great sense of humor. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. One other point, and that's Nehemiah 6:4, the persistence of the enemy. "But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner." The persistence to get us to compromise. Come on, just do this once. Just go to this. Just don't give in. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? Don't do it. Understand. You know, religions of the world are going to come together, not because I said so, because God did. There will be a false prophet who will unite the religions of the world together. And we're seeing it come together quickly today. Well, the last point is treachery, AI, artificial intelligence. And again, Nehemiah 6:10, afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Matabal, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come and kill you. So again, this is just treachery.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.